This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We've got tickets we're giving away today on Grant and Danny. In 1 hour, right at 4 o'clock, if you want to see Joe Coy at Capital One Arena. You got to be listening. That is 60 minutes out. We'll be giving away those tickets all week long at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Joe Coy at Capital One Arena. When you start playing arenas as a comedian,
you're doing just fine.
You are making moves.
Hey, do you want to do the theater? No. I'll do the 18,000-person arena, thank you.
So I think I'm going to get tickets for me and my brothers to see Shane Gillis. He's coming through Cap One this summer, I believe it is. Might be spring. And I just saw the tickets hit.
Amazing.
The game time. And I said, you know what? I think I'm probably going to have to pounce on three of those. Do a night, go out to dinner with the boys, and then go see Gillis.
Do a little Shane Gillis bit.
It's not my favorite to see a comedy act at a venue that big.
I frankly don't like it. And I don't begrudge people that do or into it. But that's not what... I mean, even doing a theater gig where the ceilings are high and it's big and it doesn't feel like comedy. Now, I'm not begrudging guys to do it because you make so much more money.
Well that's what you're doing. Yeah. But I'm not going to see him otherwise.
Right.
Like, he's not coming through here and playing DAR Constitution Hall.
Right.
So if I want to see him and I haven't, then you kind of got to go there. It's not like it's awful, right? It's just not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting there and laughing with 17,000 other people.
It ain't bad.
Isn't the worst thing either.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
But if you want those tickets, you better be listening right here on Grant and Danny. Sponsored today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The chances of the Commanders playing an international game jumped again today, Danny. So there's already some thought that Washington might play outside of the United States against the Miami Dolphins because they play in Miami this year, road game, and the Dolphins have the Madrid game, which has already been announced. We don't know who they're playing. We just know that one of their home games is going to be against the Commanders. So you have a one in however many home games chance to be going to Madrid. And then I would say the chance is even a little higher than that because you're now an it team with an it quarterback, marketable. Now the league's going to want to squeeze every juice they can, every drop of juice they can out of Jaden Daniels and his crew, right? There's another game on their schedule that could end up being an international game. We found out today there's a report. It was originally in Spanish, but it's been translated here, that tomorrow we're going to get an announcement, apparently, that the LA Chargers are going to be hosting a game in Brazil on the opening Friday of the NFL season. So think about what this means.
AKA the Packers-Eagles game from this year.
Yeah. Day two of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Thursday night opener, which will be the Eagles and possibly the Commanders NFC Championship game. But you know, could be anybody of the great teams in the league as a showcase. We've seen Chiefs-Lions recently.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd the Chiefs open with this past season?
On Bengals?
Thursday? Ravens.
Ravens.
Gain
there you go.
Right
yep.
there on the back
yep,
line.
Yep, yep. That's right.
The toe that was out. Or was it? That started the NFL season. So you're going to get the opening night game on Thursday night. The next day on Friday, you get the Chargers and possibly the Commanders in Brazil. Now, you're not going to have two of these, so it's not like they would go to Brazil to play the Chargers and to Madrid to play the Dolphins, and you very well could have zero of the two. But I think the chances that they go internationally with Jaden Daniels leading the way now and this team becoming maybe the it team in the league, you've got to say they're pretty good.
Yeah, hear me out on this. So in years past, it used to be they'd go, take the worst game and we'll put it internationally because folks are so grateful for it. You know, the Jaguars and, you know, I don't know, when the Bears are bad, they'll play Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
They do that with the London games, but I don't think they did that with the one-off international, like, hey, we're going to Mexico. They're sending Tom Brady and the Patriots, you know, because it's like the first time you're ever having anyone over to your house versus the 15th. You're probably going to, like, maybe not stand up and greet them at the door the 14th time.
Right. So that's the other school of thought is that, is where they're going, hey, this is our next growth opportunity. The NFL is done, I would say it's saturated, but it's as close as you can be to a fully tapped vein in North America, really in the United States. So they want to grow it elsewhere. Let's use our best bullets. Let's grow our game with the young superstars. How about the guy whose jersey sold as much as anybody's ever has? And this is one of the it teams. I think that's the thing. I think it's a distinct possibility. In fact, I don't want to say it's likely, but I think it's right around 50-50 to me, not 2 out of 9.
Would you rather the Commanders play at Madrid against the Dolphins or at Brazil against the Chargers?
Madrid.
Any reason?
The stories about the extra security that were needed in Brazil were alarming to me. I didn't love that story. Remember the beginning of the season where, like, they had police escorts everywhere and it was like you can't go outside.
Well, a couple of the players came out and kind of talked about it and then quickly walked it back and were like, "Oh, we're just kidding. Sorry.
We love it here."
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, "This is actually one of the most secure locations. I really think the league should play here every weekend. I'm really happy to be in Brazil."
Yeah, what sights have you seen? Out my window, you can see. Yeah, I mean, so that's my answer. I would say Madrid, but neither is great for me, honestly. Like, that Friday situation, now it's weird. These games count. It's so precious to me. Please don't screw us.
Old man radio time. You ready for it?
Go ahead, shoot.
I know your boy's in the minority. And of this show, the sad thing is, slowly morphing more and more as an old person into you.
Yep.
Now, your line moves, too. Like, your goalpost is moved.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I am getting to where you were when we started the show together.
That's right. Yeah.
When you were probably a little older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But, actually, you were probably my age when we started the show together.
Yeah, just about. So you can do the math on that.
I'm getting there, and you're now just, like, grandpa.
Yeah, wait till you hear what it's going to be like in 10 years. It'll be the same ratio, buddy.
But I'm the more adventurous of the two of us. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did hold an alligator, for God's sake.
You certainly did.
By the way, Toby, Ryan, Darius, I held an alligator.
He held it.
You guys forget about that. Next time you say, "Oh, Granny's just one of these old dudes who doesn't do anything wild and crazy," remember that I held a GD living alligator. For God's sake, man. Have you talked to your loved ones about that? Like, did you bring that up to your girlfriend at all? That I held an alligator?
I did not, but you know what? Next time I will.
It's ridiculous. Toby, your mom visited, did you tell her Grant held an alligator?
Yeah, I was telling her as she's, you know, dealing with bombs and things going off around where she is at, that Grant held an alligator, and
damn,
she was really impressed.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Barked up that tree, didn't you?
Yeah, that's my bad. Toby's mom is like Jason Bourne, by the way. She's like, I don't want to say where, but she spends months on end in the most dangerous place on the planet currently.
Where it's like
you should have told her that I held an alligator.
An assassin comes and she beats him with a library book or a magazine. You know?
I mentioned it and she was thoroughly impressed.
By the way, when she got to come home for a short time, I don't want to get into too many details, was like right when things calmed down. Like, that's how you know she is so important to everything.
She's
going
hanging
on.
Out in a hot spot, trying to calm it down.
It's
like,
so now that it's calm for a little while, you get to come home and get away. And then it ramps back up, and they're like, "We need you back."
Yeah.
By the way, do you know someone who held an alligator? I thought it was weird that they asked her that.
That's so strange.
Darius, has it come up at the Dameron house? I held a GD alligator.
So when we got picked up from the airport, my pops picked me up, and the first thing he said when I got in the car was, "Did Grant hold a goddamn alligator?"
Oh, Sheehan brought it up.
Yeah, because Sheehan brought it up. Where he's like, a couple other things in Denton's notebook. The Terps, they're better than you think. And Grant held an alligator in, oh, let me say this, it was alive and he held it in New Orleans.
Oh, see, that checks Terps. Out. That checks out. That makes sense.
Why and you would ask that. Snake around the neck.
Yeah.
Don't forget that part.
Yeah, I didn't forget it.
What did this have to do with? Oh, yeah. How adventurous I am.
You're an adventurous guy.
Here we go. Back to how adventurous I am. I would never go watch an NFL game in Madrid or Brazil. I just have no interest. My travel interest right now is very low. It's very low, Danny. I would go to a game in London at this juncture.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that. I think I would go see a game like Ireland, parts of Europe I think I could dabble into. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, on a 1 to 10 scale, we're under 5 in terms of leaving the United States of America to go watch sport right now. I'm in the minority. I get it. I just don't have that in me at this moment. Is that weird?
It's not at all. The Matt Hasselbeck. I mean the hassle. Now, if people are going to do it, they're going to see the Madrid game, and they're going, my pops and his lady, they were in Madrid a few weeks ago. They're all about it. I mean, he loves traveling to Europe. That's his bit. So they sit there with their head down for 6 months. They go to Europe for 3 weeks, as long as you can stay before you outstay your welcome. And he comes back with a head cold, and then they save up and do it again.
All right, let's play a game here. You got any game show music for me, Dad? Here's the game. Would I want to travel there for an NFL game? You're going to be the guesser.
Okay.
Okay? This is first blank. I'm either going to go or I'm not going to go to see an NFL game there. And if we could actually get who's best at research, I need to know how many hours it takes to fly there. Also, that's a very important factor.
Yep.
Because if it's longer than an hour, the chances might be I'm not.
Longer than an hour internationally?
Right. It lowers the chances.
I can't even get you to Virginia Beach that quick, dude.
Every single hour, the chances go down like 11% that I want to fly
there. So Australia, 21 hours, that's a no for
you?
Well,
I will not be going to that game, I can assure you. Let's start with that one.
Okay.
You kind of just may have gotten your answer.
Yeah.
Australia. Would I go follow the Commanders to Australia?
You would not.
That is correct. I'm going to say that's a 20-hour flight.
That would be 22 hours from here to Sydney, Australia.
Why would anyone do that? How could anyone do that, by the way?
That's so many hours, dude.
But everything's going great in airplanes right now, right? No issues there?
Yeah.
22 hours in one? Sign me up. All right, Italy. Would I go cover the Commanders in Italy?
You should want to do this. Italy should be a bucket list. I've never been. It's one of my bucket list places to go. It's just so much pasta. It's so much bread. It's pizza. It's fresh. It's good food. I'm going to say you wouldn't do it. I'm going to say you wouldn't do it. I mean, that's a no.
You're wrong. I would love to go see the Commanders in Italy.
That would be an 8.5-hour flight from D.C. to Rome.
So we're not doing that,
see?
I can assure you.
Yeah.
Can I land somewhere and then take a train? I think I can. Can I do like a five? What's the shortest flight I can do and then train? Is that London?
You're still. It's hard to train from
Toby,
London.
You want to be my my travel advisor there?
You land in Paris, which again is 6.5-7.
Now, to be clear, I want to land at an airport. I'd like to be on the ground in an airport, not like just the quickest you can get me down.
Yeah.
I need to be on land in Europe.
Well, by the time you land in Europe and then go somewhere to the train station and get on board a train and take it for a few more hours, you probably should just fly to Rome.
Nah. 8 hours in an airplane is too long. Can't do it.
So you could do 7 to Paris and then take a cab to Gare du Nord and then like a long train to somewhere in Italy?
I can't do anything at like 5.5, 6?
No.
You sure?
I mean, you could land in London, but then you got to get another plane.
Yeah. You sure?
It's an island kind of out there, dude. You got to do a little.
I can't do a boat?
Maybe you could boat to Italy.
Okay, a go-fast boat. And then come up in like.
Oh, it's a fast boat?
Yeah, one of those cigarette boats.
Hmm. You're booking passage like you're a fugitive?
Yeah, why not? And then come up those little tiny, like, little alleys and hop off and have a little dinner right there. No, the little, what is that little town?
Yeah.
With the little water.
The Amalfi Coast there?
No, the little water in the town, the Italy town.
Yeah, my Venice.
Venice.
Yeah.
I'll just bring my little go-fast boat up the little Venice streams.
Yeah, to Venice.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. Thailand. Thailand.
That's around the world. It's literally the opposite of us.
I've heard silly things about Bangkok.
Me too.
Heard the best things.
That would be a 20-hour flight. 20-hour flight.
Danny is correct. Yeah, no shot. I will not be watching the Commanders in Thailand. What about France? Paris, France. So just had the Olympics.
You should want to go. You could do that in six, I think. That one's closer. Again, delicious, great food. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to say yes to that one.
Danny's wrong. I would not want to go to France.
Thought
to
I had
see
that one.
France is not on my radar. I'm not that interested in it.
7 hours is what I got here.
Seven. I mean, the seven I could probably deal with, but it's...
But you land at Charles de Gaulle, and that airport sucks.
Greece. Maybe the Commanders are in Athens for some reason.
It's a little further. I'm going to say, again, you should want to go. Great food again. Some beach time. I know you're a big beach guy. That's a joke. He's not. I'm going to say no to that one.
Danny's wrong again.
Damn it.
You're really bad at this.
I am terrible at it.
I'd be steamed up to go see Giannis's birthplace.
That'd be an 11-hour flight for you.
It's 11 grand.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I told you it's further.
Is there a way to do that without that much flying? Like, can I do the train thing there or no?
Yeah, this train thing is fascinating to me.
I'm a big train guy.
Yeah.
If I could train all the way there, I would do that.
The whole way from D.C. to Greece?
I don't think that it works.
There's lots of water around it. Maybe you can boat to it.
That's the issue, the plane and the water.
So much watering, yes. Yeah.
I like staying above that ground. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Oh, is that the coast? Let's veer to our left.
So I think I'm right that you wouldn't do it because it's so far.
No, I'm going to do Greece.
Wow.
I it's just too beautiful. Everybody, everything, just too pretty. I'll do that one.
Okay.
The United Kingdom, I already told you I would do.
You would do that, yes.
We're going to London. Mm-hmm. How about Portugal? Portugal. Would I go watch the Commanders in Portugal?
Portugal is your first landfall there in Europe. If they were in Lisbon or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. You'd be wrong again.
Unbelievable.
You are on a cold streak. I don't know anything about Portugal. It's just not really something that I'm looking forward to doing.
Do you have to know something about the country to want to go?
Oh, yeah. I've got
to
be in.
Okay.
I've got to want to go there.
You got to
be
into it?
Yeah.
7-hour flight.
Yeah. That's the closest.
Thank you. Did we do Australia? I think we did.
You did 22. That's a no.
Germany. My wife's all in on Germany.
Why is she all in on Germany?
She loves Oktoberfest. She had a girl... live with her when she was a little girl from Germany to go to school with her. What are those? Foreign exchange students?
Oh, yeah.
She had
one of those,
like, friendly girl that she still keeps in touch with, pen pals with. Would I want to go to Germany?
I've been wrong every time. So my instinct is no. So I'm going to say yes.
No. You're wrong again.
I was right about that one.
I'm not a Germany guy, I guess. I wouldn't want to see a football game there.
That's a 7-hour and 45-minute flight to Germany.
Well, if you'll get the air currents, it could be more efficient.
Let's do one more. I'll do two more. China.
No.
You don't think I'd want to go to China?
Again, it's the furthest. It's almost as far as it can be. You wouldn't do that.
No, I'm just kidding. Danny's right. Yeah. I would not want to go watch football in China.
18 hours from here to Beijing.
That's longer than I would have thought. I would have thought China's not that far away.
No, you got to update that file.
Pretty close.
It's the opposite of us.
And lastly, this will be the last one I do. How about the Netherlands? Amsterdam situation.
Again, this is a should be yes. Should be yes. A lot of French fries. I'm going to say no.
You're wrong.
Damn it.
I get steamed up for the Netherlands. Big Amsterdam guy.
Big Amsterdam guy?
Big Amsterdam.
What do you like about it?
I just want to go to Amsterdam.
Do you?
Yeah, the movie Euro Trip was awesome. I thought Amsterdam was pretty cool.
That's one of the big reasons for tourism, I think. A lot of people saw Euro Trip and wanted to go.
Saying, this isn't where I parked my car. Daris.
That one is 7.5 hours nonstop from D.C.
Actually, that might be my one seed. That or Italy. Ireland's not on this list, but Ireland's up there too. I'll go see the Commanders. Let me know when they play in one of those locations.
Ireland, Scotland, something like that you could do.
How about you? You got to go to Madrid? Or you got to go to Brazil?
Madrid.
You're going to Madrid?
Yeah, I would. I went to Barcelona in my younger years, and I loved it.
I don't know why it ricks me when people do that.
Dude, you have to do it. You can't just say Barcelona. They go, no, Barcelona. I'm like, is it?
But that's what they call it. When you do it just every day,
oh, it's
that's going to get to me. Well,
because I stayed in Barceloneta, inside Barcelona.
You didn't, though.
I did. It was southern Barcelona. Right?
No,
it is. I'm telling you where it is. You
stop.
Can't get mad at me.
Stop it.
You're
Where
Mr. Correct.
Stay?
I'm a journalist. Right. I try to, this is the correct pronunciation.
Here Barack Obama all of a sudden going, Qatar. My daughters traveled with me to Qatar.
I stayed in the neighborhood. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Barceloneta.
Stop it.
Barcelona.
I hate you right now.
I'm just telling you where it was.
No, seriously. You say want. Barcelona, real.
Barcelona.
Oh, I hate you. Let's go to Steve in D.C. What's up, Steve?
Not Barcelona.
Steve?
Hey, guys.
How are you, buddy?
Hello.
Steve.
Pretty good. Okay, so, Grant, I need you to just follow me on the Madrid thing.
Okay.
Having been there a couple of times, okay? I went to London to watch that horrible tie game. And it was fun. Madrid, first of all, do you like products made with pork that are high quality?
Oh, I love those. Yeah. Those are some of my favorite things.
Exactly. Do you like, we'll call it cafe culture, sitting outside with a very high quality but yet inexpensive bottle of the red vino with some high quality pork product watching the world go by? Your answer is yes.
Well, so I'm not a wine guy, but my wife would love the wine, and I do love it. What's the temperature when I'm sitting outside?
So the NFL season, let's say when they would play it, you're talking in that 62 at night to 75 during the day.
Oh, yeah, that sounds amazing.
Exactly, and you're talking direct flights from Dulles to Madrid. You're talking, once you're on the ground there, average cost per meal, 10 to 15 euro or dollars less than it would be in the U.S., so you're eating well for very, very
kind of in price. Right now.
And it's a day trip to Barcelona. Like, it's easy to go. I'm just telling you, it's information.
So I'm kind of in. How long is the flight?
And I think our flight was 7.5.
Okay.
So it's like maybe 45 to 50 minutes longer than going to London.
So that's the sticky wicket, if I could say that. Because every minute after the London thing is just one too many.
Oh, my God, get me off.
I'm looking at this from Dulles. It says 9 hours and 20 minutes.
That sounds wrong to me.
Oh, you know what? This says connection.
There you go. So food you would love. It's like paella, like all rice, meats that, like he's talking about.
I love meat. I love rice.
Yeah. The food there is kick butt.
Do you think the Commanders are going international? And would you follow them? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me, and at Funny Danny for DR. We've got those Joe Coy tickets at Capital One Arena. We're giving those away in 30 minutes. We were just talking about this, but the Commanders have a chance to go international. They have a chance to play the Dolphins in Madrid, or the Chargers in Brazil. I think we'll find out both of those matchups well before the schedule, actually.
You would think so, right? Like, that's your first teaser trailer for schedule type release?
I think so. Like, those trickle out a little bit, like, weeks in advance. But their road schedule this year, so in the division, Dallas, Philly, and New York. The only thing there that could be particularly compelling is if they open in Philly on opening night, on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty sick.
Yes, it would.
And that rivalry is budding and becoming a thing. You know the league would like to play that up because the Eagles aren't going anywhere. The Commanders are only getting better. That's two of the top seven media markets in America. So I think there's a real chance they could open the season in Philly, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. Daniels Hurts trying to dethrone the team trying to go back-to-back. I could definitely see that.
I could see it, yeah. I mean, how they selected, there could be a million different things. I don't know who Philadelphia's opponents are. Off the top of my head, I should probably look that up. But, you know, if they've got a Detroit or if they've got a Baltimore, if they've got Kansas City on their schedule as it is, because I know Washington plays at Kansas City, maybe it's that. But, yeah, I mean, Washington's definitely a candidate. And that's pretty unique, man. It wasn't that long ago that you would laugh someone out of the room if it's like, yeah, there's an opening night showcase involving Washington. Ha, 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 funny. Nope, that's a very real possibility.
Their home schedule is Dallas, New York, and Washington, obviously, in the division. Then they've got the Bears with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. Going to be a fun team, a primetime, I'm sure, a few times a year kind of team, but that's not a better matchup in week one than Washington. They do host the Lions at Lincoln Financial Field this coming
year. That's a nominee, yeah.
Broncos, Raiders, the Rams was a really good playoff game in the snow. So I would say that's a nominee as well.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Bucks would be kind of a tier down. The Bucks is actually on the road as I look at it. So, yeah, I mean, at home, they have...
So they're like Washington. Some of their marquee away opponents, Buffalo, Green Bay, Kansas City, Minnesota, who was good last year. Yeah, so there you go.
So I think it basically comes down to the Rams, the Commanders, or Lions.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those will be their opening night game. So if they play the Eagles in Philly in week one, well, now you know you're not going to Madrid. It means they may very well end up... now you know you're not going to Brazil against the Chargers the next night. So it means they very well could end up in Madrid against Miami.
That's absolutely on the table. I mean, this is a... The thing we're going to have to get used to, and I'm still not yet, like, it's one of those, like, pinch yourself because this is real, or smell the roses, whatever phrase you want to use, is my initial reaction is going, oh my God, no, that would never happen. No. This is the era they're in now. This is the territory. This is the tier, whatever you want to call it. Whether it works out to, you know, more wins this coming year with a more difficult schedule, we'll talk about that certainly as we progress and what the offseason holds. But it is a very real thing that this group has gone from joke, embarrassment, also ran to one of the darlings of the league. And these are the conversations that you get to have or have to have about which showcase do we want to put them in. They're already going to be in four primetime games. Do we want the fifth one to be international, or do we want the fifth one to be a different Sunday night football game, etc.? That's what's happening now.
Last year, there were six NFL primetime games played by three teams. That was the high water mark. So the Jets with Rodgers, the 49ers, and the Cowboys played six collective primetime games in 2024. Nobody played more.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is going to be in that area. Like, five primetime games were played by a lot of teams, including the Chiefs and the Bills and the Packers and the Lions, like the teams that were expected to be really, really good. Not surprisingly, Washington all year long, at least when the schedule came out, was slated to have two of those games. And you have to play on Thursday night, so you don't really get a choice.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of one opt-in primetime game from the NFL. I think it's going to be at least five, if not six. And if you just look at their opponents, their best games are going to be played probably against, you know, you figure two primetime games in the division, one against the Eagles, and then one against either the Cowboys or the Giants. The Bears, for whatever reason, they seem to always play on Thursday night.
Yep.
But I could see that again. The Lions would make sense as a primetime spot.
And then potential flexes. Like, let's say Atlanta's good or fighting for the division again if it's late season. Or, you know, you already mentioned some of them, whether it's
Green Bay. Chiefs is a primetime game.
Chiefs is a primetime game.
I think that's a lock.
Yeah.
Because that's just your AFC power against the NFC sexy team.
Yeah.
I could see Green Bay as a primetime game. But the road schedule, I know I've talked about this a lot on the show. As someone who goes to a couple road games a year, and as a show, I mean, last year we did with our buddies Kandori and Murad. We're going to have to get on the horn with them at some point. Dude, the road schedule is awesome. It's so good. Assuming you stay in the States and you don't lose any of these games internationally. Like, honestly, I'm not a big LA guy. So flying cross country is not that interesting to me. So if you're going to do one, Chargers losing that one would be fine. The Dolphins, I think I'm the only probably person listening right or talking right now who's not a huge Miami guy. Best thing about Miami to me is Yardbird, the restaurant. I don't know. I don't know if I just haven't had a lot of fun.
And they got one a couple of blocks north of Cap One now.
Exactly. You know, are you a Miami guy?
Oh, I hate it.
It's like it's so much nightlife and just people dressed up.
Couldn't be more out.
I think you have to get surgery on your mm-hmm. your bags under your eyes as yep. soon as you get off the plane.
Couldn't be more out. Did it once, spent a weekend there, left broke and sunburned.
Can no, I thanks. Be 23 again? Then I'll like Miami again. You know yeah, what seriously. I'm saying? And I also hate the beach. Don't forget about that.
That's right.
It's the beach. Mm-hmm. That's what's there.
It's the whole town.
But anyway, Minnesota. How hilarious is this, Justin?
But you know what I don't want to do is go to Miami. You know what I'd love to do is go to exactly. Minnesota.
But that's the best NFL stadium. I haven't been there yet. I want to go there badly. Arrowhead Stadium. You don't think I want to eat ribs in that parking lot? You don't want to tailgate with me at Arrowhead?
Listen, if you're offering ribs in the parking lot, I'll go.
Lambeau Field,
Lambeau,
man.
Lambeau, dude.
You ever been to Lambeau?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Is that a bit?
No, I've never been.
Yeah, you have to go to Lambeau.
I know. It's a thing. We talk about this all the time. Every time it comes up, you go, you've never been? I said, no.
Well, you always have to go.
I know.
And you keep not going.
I know.
They've played there several times.
I know.
You just don't go?
Just haven't gone.
Why not?
I don't know.
Go, please.
There's always a reason.
Have to go.
I want to go.
Everyone listening to me right now, you should all go to Lambeau Field. It's the best. And then the division games happen every single year. But what a road slate. Lambeau, one of the most iconic stadiums of all time. Arrowhead, which is one of the most legendary NFL experiences that you can have. L.A., Miami, Atlanta, and then Minnesota. I know that sounds crazy. Hang with me for a second. Mall of America putt-putt. Mm-hmm. Me and Michael Phillips did it once. And the best stadium in the National Football League. What else can I give you?
Juicy Lucy's, and I'll take them. Thank you, please,
yeah, burgers
and thank
with
you.
The cheese cooked into the
it's
middle of
right
the patty.
It's right in the middle. It should be a national sensation. Yeah, well, here's the part that I care about even more. You know, obviously, you know, whether or not we go to one, two, five of them, whatever, is there's no bad teams on that list. There's no you go on the road and you'll be a heavy favorite. There's no going to Arizona when they're struggling.
Oh, now, it's going to be a grind.
Now, who knows? That's on paper. You know, lineups get changed or somebody gets hurt or a team, you know, falls off the planet. But though that's a bunch of playoff teams on that list and a bunch of teams that were near playoff teams on that list. One team was not a playoff team because Washington beat them in one of the final weeks of the season. And that is a challenging thing. And that's kind of my big takeaway here is for all the talk about ascension and next steps or whatever, you could be just as good as you were this year and end up with three less wins, maybe four. And that's a jarring deal.
Very possible. Juan Soto showed up at Mets camp. We've seen Juan Yay. Soto in Mets gear now for the first time.
Cool.
Talking to the media about the Mets' likeliness of winning the World Series. I was prepared for this correctly. I knew what it was going to look and feel like.
Yep.
And yet still, it was just a kick to the stomach.
It burns a little bit.
This, to me, has to be what it feels like to be a parent of a daughter who's bringing home her serious boyfriend for the first time. Like, you can tell yourself everything you need to get into the right mindset to say, look, he's a good guy. She really likes him. He's treating her well. Blah, yeah, whatever else you need to say to yourself. And then they walk in and they're holding hands. And like, there's going to be that moment an hour later where you come around the corner and he's trying to smooch her on the mouth.
Oof.
And you just want to punch him right in the face.
Right in that face.
I know Juan Soto's a Met. I remember when he signed with them.
Yeah.
To see it, to come around the corner there mm-hmm. and to be like, oh my God, he can't wait till I go to bed so he can just make out with her. I can't do it. I got to do it every day for 15 years now.
You're going to play, what do they play, 17 times anymore? I forget the number. It's not 19, whatever it is. But you're going to see them a lot on television
bad.
Every 5 minutes?
We had the blue and orange. The Bryce thing got us ready, and we've had to deal with Scherzer and Mets colors. And I mean, everyone who's ever been here that's any good is gone and on another team
play
in the division.
Mostly play for the Phillies.
But this one's going to hurt. This is going to be hard, people. If you haven't seen it yet, just wait. You think you're ready, you're not ready.
That billion-dollar smile. Just hitting nukes out of that stupid park. Ugh, gross.
Best smile in baseball.
Yeah.
Maybe in sports.
It's up there.
Juan Soto. He's got a great smile. Double Play is next. SNL celebrated 50 years over the weekend. We'll get into that. Top of the hour, we do have those tickets and the Beltway Blitz. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Danny, Saturday Night Live celebrated 50 years all weekend long. They kicked it off with a gigantic concert. If you haven't seen any of the performances, it was really well done. And then on Saturday evening, they had a marathon broadcast, almost 3 hours of sketches from some of the all-time greats that came back to take part and the current cast as well. It was kind of a who's who, not just of cast members, but celebrities who have hosted, musicians who have played over the years. It was pretty amazing television.
It was neat. So not every sketch worked, and you know that's been the case since the show's inception 50 years ago. And I didn't see every part of it. I've gone back and watched a couple highlights or recommended things and some stuff I may have missed, tuning into All-Star games or putting a kid to bed or something like that. But the reason you get everybody to come out for it is it's such a cultural touchstone. It is such a like an anchor thing. Even if you're not watching SNL, and I think generations of folks just – well, they haven't really over the last however many years, right?
Like most of the great entertainment series of yesteryear, it's way less popular now than it used to be.
Totally. But there's still that cachet. There's still that, you know, that iconic Live from New York, Studio 8H, the whole deal, you know, Rockefeller Center or Plaza or whatever. So the reason you get the folks that have like hosted one time or the John Hamms of the world to sit in the audience or Jason Momoa or this movie star or that, it's just... everybody gets it. Everybody gets that it's this unique animal that's kind of now self-sustaining after all the ups and downs and different things. Well, last night made me, made me realize is so many unbelievably great cast members are no longer with us. Not to bring the room down here for a second, but thinking about, you know, obviously John Belushi, long gone, but then Chris Farley, Phil Hartman, Gilda Radner, some of the people that made that show so incredible for so many people, inspired so many young comedians and folks that want to be in entertainment in some way, are gone and even long gone at that. Just sort of bummer to think about. But it's always interesting when you get a million folks there, like who wasn't there and why? Like, where's Dan Aykroyd? What's wrong with that? Is Dan Aykroyd mad? Like, you don't know.
Where's Bill Hader?
Yeah, where's Bill Hader? You know, like
who's at least in terms of the last 20 years, probably near the top of my list. As is
should be, yeah.
Kate McKinnon. I think she's so funny. Kate McKinnon, to me, her shtick. Like, you know how certain people will always just pop you?
Mm-hmm.
She's one for me that I don't have her in my top five, but if you're looking at the last 15 and 20 years, and even the other night, there was a couple sketches she was in where I'm just sitting there belly laughing. Like, she knows how to get to me. My dad has certain scenes in movies that if I put them on, he's going to giggle until
every
he
time.
Cries, you know? There's this scene. Have you ever seen the movie Baby's Day Out?
No.
It's a really random, nothing movie. Basically, there's this baby, and he's like part of a rich family, and they hire photographers to come take pictures. Well, the photographers end up getting picked off by bad guys who steal the baby, and they're going to basically hold the baby ransom or whatever. And it's a comedy from like 20-plus years ago.
That sounds hysterical.
So... in this movie, it's like one of these cheesy mid-90s comedies.
Mm-hmm.
This baby, it's a lot like Home Alone almost, except instead of Macaulay Culkin tormenting the bad guys, it's like a crawling baby.
Mm-hmm.
But this baby gets away from the bad guys, and they're trying to catch up to it, whatever. Well, there's this scene where this woman has the baby, and so they get into the fight with someone. But this guy starts fighting the other bad guy, and he starts like stomping on his junk and kicking him. And all, like they're trying to help each other, and they're hurting each other. My dad laughs so hard at this scene every single time that, like, whenever my dad's laughing really hard in life, we're like, oh, he's going full Baby's Day Out over here. Like, and it's just such
that's
a
so
random,
funny.
I mean, I still, like, I need to go back to visit my parents and just put that on and just watch
and just
my dad
see what happens
and record it.
That's amazing.
But I bring this up to say, like, she always pops me. But what I loved about SNL 50 was some of my favorite all time. Chris Farley's probably my one seed. Posthumous, you're never going to see him on that stage again. Love Will Ferrell, who killed it. Love Mike Myers, who was back. They're both in my top five. But like seeing Eddie Murphy act in these sketches with like the guys that are there now and how much different or better or just, it's so obvious. When it would be the equivalent of just like if sports weren't something that you grew out of and weren't timely, where when you're 50, you're not as good at them. And then you just had a Hall of Famer playing next to just some random jag now. Seeing Eddie Murphy, with all due respect to Kenan Thompson, next to Kenan Thompson in a comedy sketch, I can't imagine how thrilling that must have been for him. But it's like watching one of the greatest singers ever and someone who happens to sing. You know,
yeah. I've done some karaoke in my day.
It's just so different. And respectfully to Kenan Thompson, like, he's one of the best we got going right now.
Yeah, I mean, he
just can't hold up.
He's so underappreciated in the sense that he's like a glue guy, right? Like, he's like your role player who everybody likes, who's been around for as many shows as anybody else has ever been. But nobody can match the rocket ship that was Eddie Murphy. He was such a big cast member that he got to host when somebody got sick. You know what I mean? Like, he was that big of a deal that he hosted the show that he was on because everybody tuned in every week to see him.
I just think getting some of these guys that are in anonymity now,
mm-hmm.
they're doing nothing because they don't want to be bothered. Like, getting Bill Murray to do anything.
Yeah.
He was there doing a sketch. Mike Myers doesn't leave. I don't know where he lives in Canada, but, you know, his farm, let's say. He doesn't leave. He just doesn't do it.
Right.
I think they all come back for the creator that everyone is obsessed with,
Lorne Michaels. Yeah.
Who everybody loves. I don't know him at all, but, like, I think that's where it comes from, is their love for him and maybe the show or whatever. But you're right. It was a very limited number of people that weren't participating, but almost everybody. Dana Carvey. It was Chevy Chase.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything. He was there.
Really?
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything. That's interesting. Steve Martin was involved. It's just so good, dude. So good.
Yeah, all the legends. Like, it was... It's not the same now, and it never could be the same, just because there's more vehicles for people to get famous, more vehicles for people to be seen and get to their audiences. But it used to be that you got discovered. You're toiling away at Second City in Chicago. You're doing stand-up in New York, or you're a groundling in L.A., and then you get plucked out, and that was your vehicle. You were going to be on SNL for however many years, and if you shined on SNL, there's your movie career. The Will Ferrell sort of model, right? Eddie Murphy did it first. And a number of these guys, like all the National Lampoon's
Farley.
Type stories. Yeah, I mean, Farley did
Sandler.
It.
Sandler.
You can even go, you know, you go back in before that with everything that happened with Caddyshack or Animal House. And these guys doing SNL, it was your... Now, you know, I don't know what Mikey Day is starring in. You know, like, I'm sure he's doing stuff and he's more successful than me. But you know what I mean? It's not the same as it was.
Well, it's also, again, man, this is old guy radio all day. It just isn't that good anymore, I don't think. I just don't think it's nearly as funny.
No.
But maybe we're just people saying that, like my dad talks about music. When, you know, he would watch the Super Bowl halftime show 20 years ago and go, oh, this is music that'll last through lunch. And now I'm that guy saying that. Like, everybody thinks their generation was better, you know, musically. Maybe we're doing the same thing with comedy.
To a degree. But it's also the...
I would say the proof's in the pudding, though. Like, where's your Chevy Chase, your Aykroyd career? Where are your, right. I'm just making it up now, but Blues Brothers, Coneheads.
Right.
These aren't becoming, your bits aren't becoming feature-length films that kill at the box office.
100% a thing. So, you know, there's a billion things I could get into that probably aren't as interesting to folks. But, I mean, to me, you're basically now, it used to be that the entire landscape was your canvas. We can make fun of anybody and everybody. Now, it's far more narrow in terms of that. Right.
So, like, what you're allowed to make fun of.
Part of what you're allowed to make fun of, jokes that we feel comfortable telling, you know, because now it's a joke happens or a costume happens or something like that. And, you know, within 24 hours, how problematic was this? And so everybody's trying to avoid
all the
negative stuff.
Time? I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with someone this weekend about SNL. When is the last time a great comedy was made? Like, there was a run. I'm not even talking about back when you were growing up, before even my time, with, like, you know, Caddyshack and, Animal House and all mm-hmm. those great iconic movies. But, like, there was a heater when I was a kid with, like, old school.
Yep.
You know, this isn't on that level, but I mentioned Euro Trip earlier, Road Trip, or, like, so many of these movies. There's nothing like that comes out anymore. When is the last legitimate, like, R-rated comedy that even dropped that was a massive success?
I mean, it's like The Hangover. It's, you know, Step Brothers.
Yeah, that's 15 years ago.
Exactly. Just, there's a million reasons why. Again, part of it's the landscape. Part of it is, you know, what it takes for someone to get off their butt and go see it in the theater. It takes a leading man. It takes a Will Ferrell. You're going to pay him $20 million, probably plus some points on the back end.
But it used to be that those movies had a great ROI.
Yeah, it's now...
It doesn't cost a ton to make them.
It now doesn't, apparently. I don't know. So now all the comedy movies, like, my buddy Rory's in a movie with Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon.
I saw it.
Directly to Amazon Prime. That's the new formula. That's where the comedies are going to be. But the in-theater comedy doesn't exist.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll give you a Beltway Blitz next, and we've got those tickets, speaking of comedy, to see Joe Coy at Capital One Arena. You better be listening as soon as we return.